Days That Aren't Bad by Amanda Skankovich, read by Mal Kaytan, a Dollhouse fanfiction. There are the bad days, when he talks too much, the words spilling out of his mouth so quick, his poor, her brilliant, broken mind can barely catch up to their meaning, just barely. The words with their sheer bristling, nauseating reality. All the memories they bring with them. They catch up and they dig into his brain. And so smart. He's still so very smart. Still the smartest person in the room, but no longer able to take it. The weight of it, now with the added belief that he's the scariest, guiltiest one, too. The meaning's there and he grasps it. The aftermath, she gets to see it. The poor boy collapsing into himself with this horrible knowledge, so big and just so very true that even he can't understand it. Sometimes he forgets his own name, and less often, her name. Never her face, his sweaty palms against her cheeks, his delicate features searching and searching. She's a word, a thought, right there on the tip of his tongue, fading, fading, but not quite gone. This could be one of the bad days, but it's really too soon to tell. She had her own room for a day, a pallet made up in her office. But every night to get him to sleep, they'd have to sedate him, and she always had been insistent that that was the last resort. Dr. Saunders had pointed out that the pods still had enough of the sleep cocktail simmering in their systems to last a few more weeks. The idea of closing Topher up every night in one of those cases. She dry-heaved a little and said, "No, that won't be necessary." She had her own room for a day in her office. Then Tony and Priya did. Then just Priya. At night, he'd bury his head into her lap, mumbling facts and apologies and meaningless ramblings with brilliant insight. And she'd read to him. Mrs. Darling screamed, and Nana entered. Returned from her evening out, she growled and sprang at the boy, who leapt lightly through the window. Again, Mrs. Darling screamed, this time in distress for him. When, for whatever reason, a story wouldn't do, she talked to him. Just talked. Sometimes he followed, but mainly he claimed to like the lilt of her voice, with no script. There's no script, just you, off the record, unplugged. Tell me your life. You had a life. Before this, before me. I made the sky fall down, and where were you, Chicken Little? So she told him about boarding school, and horseback riding lessons, and piano lessons, violin lessons, because of course she'd had all these things. I fell off the horse my second lesson, she told him, and broke my wrist. And that, he mumbled, drooling a little into her lap, was that. No, she told him. Not for my parents, no. I went on to win, what was it, 8 competitions? You're Wonder Woman, he mumbled. No, she said. I'm really not, and I'm still scared shitless of horses. He looked up at her and then his expression horrified. Don't swear! You don't swear! That is so inappropriate and beneath you! Oh, she told him. I'm sorry, sweetheart. You're right. Never again, I swear. Hm, he said, still looking up at her with a dreamy smile. You're Persephone and I brought you down here, didn't I? To this hole. He looked around the pod. With me? No, she said. I brought you. He shook his head and lay on his side, pulling his legs up to his chest, his fingers moving under his chin, counting something. I got all A's in science, she whispered, moving over so she could lightly touch his hair. So did I, he said. She had persistent back pain, But on the good days, and enough of the bad to make it matter, he slept drug-free. There are the bad days, the worst days. I know what I know. I know what I know. I know what I know. The words are endless and flowing, and if she'll allow it, they'll fall out of his throat for hours until it's raw. He's stuck on a loop. It can't be helped. He won't eat. He'll barely breathe. He'll piss himself rather than move. She's seen it. She's bathed him after. She's changed the sheets. She'll kiss him until her lips are chapped, until her pants are damp with his tears. She'll talk, and she'll talk, and he'll talk, and he'll talk, till the words are just falling on top of each other. These are the bad days. "I never wanted children," she told him once. "They are laying side by side, like inappropriate starches day." She'd kill for crisps, but she's still too attached to her body to go outside and risk it. The idea of pot briefly entertains her, and she thought for a second. Getting there, but still, no. So they lay there, side by side. He rolls over on his side, he plays with her hair, and he doesn't speak. "I got pregnant, briefly, in college. Terribly irresponsible on my part, unforgivable on his. He was married, and a professor, and he should have had. But he'd been through it before, and I was so impossibly young." He's wrapping a single strand of hair over and over, round one finger, pulling her face closer and closer to his hand. "I was 18, wasn't I? And now I'm, what, 42, so he'd be younger," Topher said, not quite letting go of her hair. "Younger than me." "Yes," she said to him. "Younger than you." "I always wanted a little brother," he replied. And it took her a long moment to let this sink in. "Topher," she said. "Darling," she said. "He... it... wouldn't have been..." But he was letting go of her hair now, and wrapping his arms around her, and his chin was on her shoulder briefly, and then she was turning over and looking at him. "You remember, don't you?" she asked him. "That I'm not your mother?" "Sometimes," he told her. "Usually on the days that are bad." But this wasn't one of those days. The end.